Well, I appreciate the songs. The songs that I'm going through. We don't always know what that means. There's a lot of things that are hidden what we're going to go through. But the Lord knows what they are. And he says, and the song said, I'll pay the price. I heard Brother Austus Wilson say one time, he said, heaven is heaven because God is there. And it belongs to him. So he sets the price. Whatever it's going to cost us, that's what we're going to have to pay. He's not going to water anything down for us. He's not going to change his word for us in any way, but he set the price. May the Lord help you and I to be able to meet that, pay that price, be faithful. I'd like to talk a little bit this morning about sovereignty and sacrifice. Believe it or not, they go together. I think about the God that we serve. When I was backing out of my garage this morning, at that time the sun was shining, and it was a bright and beautiful day, and I thought, boy, if I'd made this day, I'd be flexing my muscles, and I'd be sticking my chest out. I'd be kind of proud of the day that I made. And he just does that every day. It's just normal for him. He's a great God. He's a good God. We are the subject, or the object, I should say, of his affections. He loves us, and I'm glad he does. He cares about us. He's a God of wisdom and a God of understanding. We know that he's an intelligent God because of how he created the world and created everything that is in it. This thing doesn't work, does it? But God knew from the beginning. He's all wise and all knowing and all understanding. And he knew from the beginning what sin would do to man. We've every one of us experienced it. We've every one of us had to deal with it. And thank the Lord this morning that we have someone that we can go to that can help us with this sin problem. The scripture says it's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And over in the book of Judges, it talks about a people when they had no king, they did that which was right in their own eyes. Which tells me that you and I need a king. Because if we do what is right in our own eyes, and we are subject to the flesh, we are going to go as far as away from God as we possibly can. It's going to take God and the Spirit of God to bring us to him, bring us to a place that we have understanding, that we have needs that cannot be supplied any other way but God himself. Man has always needed a governing someone who can control him and guide him and direct him. We need governing from a higher power, every one of us. And I'm glad this morning that he has taken the responsibility to be that higher power and to be a governor for you and I. I'd like to begin in the Old Testament scripture, and we'll finish in the New Testament. And I'd like to turn to Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter. And Moses is talking to the people here. And he says, O Israel, first of all, he says, now therefore hearken. I want you to listen to what I have to say because this is very important. And because you're duty bound to do what God tells you to do. He says, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes, unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that you may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. I see in that one verse of scripture that the object of God's affection to you and I is that we might live. And he's not talking about us living here, but he's talking about us having life everlasting. There had to be a plan. There had to be something put in place for that to happen for every one of us. And God knew just the plan. He knew just the one to introduce the plan to you and I. He knew just how to go about it because of his wisdom and understanding. But he says, hearken unto the statutes and to the judgments which I teach you. All other worship at that time, when God began to speak to the children of Israel, all the wicked, the worship at that time was wicked. It was obscene and it was foolish. It was not someone that had a heart after God's own heart to humble themselves to worship a God, a creator, a Lord of lords, a King of kings, a sovereign God. It wasn't some, they didn't have that kind of worship. They did not know how to live morally. And the statutes is everything that concerns the rites and the ceremonies of religion. Now, since that time, God has been interested in how mankind was to worship him. God has been very specific how we should worship him. In our day and time, it is worshiping him in spirit and in truth. We know they had a form back then. They had a way of knowing some things, but they only had the outline of what you and I have the understanding of today. They only had the outline. And he said, the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you. Now the judgments were matters of civil right or wrong. They were how to live morally. Man did not know how to do that until God gave the Ten Commandments and instructed them to live in a certain way that they could live peaceably and that they could live right before the eyesight of God. So man didn't know how to do that. Now he said, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. And I want to just drop down to the children, fifth verse. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whether ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom, it's your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely, this great nation is a wise and an understanding people. He's interested in you and I this morning that we listen to what he has to say. Even Jesus said several times in the New Testament scriptures, he said, he that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I believe there's something before we're finished this morning the Lord wants us to bring out. He wants us to have ears to hear and to understand. Because his interest is that we live. And I'm glad that's his interest. God is love. I'm glad he's love. I'm glad he cares. I'm glad he understands about all things. His understanding goes way beyond ours. No matter how intelligent you are, his understanding goes way beyond all that. But I'm thankful that he cares about us. And he is saying here that if you'll keep his commandments, and you'll keep his statutes, and you'll keep his judgments, the other nation, other people, will see what God has done for you. They will see his mighty power. And you and I were created to glorify God. So I think that's one way that we are to lift him up and to glorify him. Now, the mystery of God is revealed through preaching and through teaching. The mystery of God is revealed by his Spirit. Christ born, Christ died, Christ was risen, and he's coming again. We believe all that, don't we? That's our faith this morning. He died, and he rose again, and he is coming again. He is the Savior of the world. He's my Savior. He's my Lord, my friend, my guide, my keeper, my helper, my healer. Everything that I need, he's got it all. He supplies it. The Bible tells us, and it's already been quoted in the service, that there's a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. There's a scripture that says, what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Now that works not only for the man, but it also works for the Spirit of God. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit reveals what his purpose is, or what his will is, for each and every one of you and I. He will work it out according to his plan and according to his goodness. Let's put it this way, just as we're conscious of all the schemes and all the plans and the purposes that pass in our own mind, so the Spirit of God, he knows and he understands all the counsels and determinations of a sovereign God, the Supreme Being. The Holy Spirit is of great importance to us, isn't it? It's a part of God. They're all one in Christ. I'm thankful for that today. Now, I just want to bring a little bit of this in. We are living in a time, a very precarious and dangerous time. We need to always be aware of this. We need to be on our guard. We need to be watchful. We need to be prayerful. We need to be considerate. The devil, the enemy, every day is always after our souls. He's after you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. He knows where you're going. He knows what your motives are. He knows all these things. And the devil is after you. And he only has one purpose. And Jesus told us that purpose. The thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it everlasting. Now the Lord was giving this word to the children of Israel way back then. But all down through the annals of time, God has sought to encourage man and give man understanding to the point where you and I today have the fullness of God's understanding for you and I and how we are to live and how we are to walk before him. We have no excuses because God has revealed himself to us by his Spirit. Now I think about our country today and the society that we live in. It is definitely undermining the law. Let us be careful that we never undermine the law of God. It is supreme, it is sovereign, and God called heaven and earth to record to it. It is very important to our salvation, the law of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a life unto my pathway. We also are living in a time, and I just want us to be aware of some things, where there are new definitions. They're changing the way that they're defining things today. They're redefining the family, for instance. The family, and the devil knows this, is the most valuable possession that we have in promoting morality and godliness and holiness and righteousness in the home, because if you live this in the home, you can live this anywhere if you live it in the home. The devil knows that. So he's redefining some things. He's redefining the family. He's redefining values. The values that people once held as high regard. There's one thing that is really in trouble today that's happening in our world. You know what it is? It's integrity. There's very little honesty in our world today. Integrity means nothing. I mentioned the word to a man this past week, and he looked at me. He was a college professor from Wittenberg, 91 years old. And he looked at me and he said, "What's integrity?" Now, he knows what integrity is, I'm sure. But folks, we don't see it anymore. We don't see it on display anymore. People are promoting ideas and values to guide people to their thoughts, to their agenda, to their direction, and get them away from God. Lord, help us to stay close to God. Therefore, our morals are suffering. We're morally bankrupt when it comes to our people. We really are. It's a shame to see the values of our people today. Our entire way of life, it's been redefined. Yet, remember what we just read? God is sovereign. He give us statutes. He give us judgments. He give us direction in life. He wants us to follow His path. His path is the only path that will lead to heaven. And He wants to follow. He wants us to follow His path. Another thing that's happening today, and I know that we all see it happening, is the devaluation of the Constitution of the United States. Now, this country has been a country for close to 240 years. There's never been a civilization, never been a civilization that's lasted as long as this civilization has, and been prosperous and been blessed as this civilization has. And people today, the world today, the country today, is working as fast as they can to turn that all around and to destroy it with the values that they have, with the ideas that they have. Our Constitution, my Constitution, is the Word of God. That's my Constitution. I don't have any argument except the Word of God. If you want to talk about anything and it's not in the Word of God, or it's not covered by the Word of God, it's a presumption on your part, it's a presumption on my part. But folks, it comes a point of time where there needs to be integrity, there needs to be honesty, there needs to be high morals and godliness working in righteousness in people's lives. That's what Jesus came to bring, was righteousness. There's a great shift on. We need to understand that. We need to recognize it. There's a great shift on among our young people, and it's not all their fault, folks. It's parents' fault. Let's put the blame where it belongs. But there's still a great shift going on. And our young people are being abused. They're being practically, basically thrown to the wolves in what they're allowed to do and what they're allowed to say. You see, we're living in a time, when I was young, people kind of sit on the fence line. They could take it one way or the other. Today, people are very determined that what their agenda is, they're going to do it. They're not going to let you stand in the way. They're not going to let anyone stand in the way. The only one, folks, that's standing in the way of our country going down even faster than it's going is God. It's the only one standing in the way. And the saints that are praying to him and importuning to him and asking him for mercy for a little while longer for our children and for our families in this country. Do you know why Hitler, hate to even talk about him, I was over there one year, the fellow says, we're just a few blocks from Hitler's house where he was born, you want to go see it? And I said, no, I sure don't. Not a bit interested. Brunau, was it? Something like that, born in Brunau, Austria. But anyway, Hitler, do you know why he was so successful? It was propaganda. The word that he put out. The things that he had printed up and papers and leaflets that were handed out and the words that people were saying. He was profitable because of the propaganda, the lies that were being told, and people accepted them. People are not on the fence today. People are led easily today. People want to be led easily today. Remember Jesus when the mob took him in there and they followed him and Pilate said he was going to let him go and they hollered out, crucify him, crucify him. You get a mob stirred up, folks, and they'll do just about anything. They'll get completely out of control. Do you know what happens when the earthen plates shift? We have an earthquake. Do you know what happens in this time and day that we're living in? When morality shifts? When new ideas begin to shift? New thoughts begin to come in? More ways, different ways that we look to God and other things. Do you know what happens? We have a spiritual earthquake. And that's what we have in this country. And that's what we have among us. But folks, I'm just being real here. I'm not telling you anything you don't probably already don't know. But we need to be aware of some things that it's changing. When God spoke these words, they were written forever. They were spoken forever. They were not to be forgotten. They were not to be misunderstood. But they had the intention of causing man to live a good moral life and live peaceably before God and have his approval upon their life. And that's what you and I are wanting today, aren't we? We want his approval upon our life. We want to be accepted by him. Let's turn over. I'll just go ahead and turn over here to a familiar scripture. Found Hebrews 4. I hope I won't lose you this morning because I want to finish kind of strong. It says in Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God, that's where I am. That's where we are. It doesn't really matter, you know, we sing the song, I'll say the great word. It doesn't matter what great word I say. It doesn't matter how profound that I am. The word of God is profound. And it's forever settled in heaven. And there was a sacrifice made for that word of God to take effect and to have power and authority in yours and my life. So he said, the word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than in a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now the joints and the marrow all have to do with the bones. It brings all of that together in a connective way that we understand that. And it says, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, it brings the thoughts, your very intent, your very motive, the very thing that you conjure up in your mind, if you will. It sees all of that. The Word of God sees us right where we are, folks. We're exposed. We're not hidden from God in any way. Everything about you, He understands. Everything about you, He knows. And it's through His Word, as He ministers to us, as He speaks to us, as He tells us of His ways, and the God of God and the Lord of Lords, folks, as He speaks to us, He wants us to understand and realize the Word of God is all that matters. The Word of God is the authority in everything that we do. And we must see God in that way. The Word of God enlightens the soul. The Word of God didn't die or was forgotten as soon as it was uttered. But it's still down here all that time, years and years ago. It's here for you and I today, the Word of God. That's all we have. And I pray that our faith, we have not seen Jesus. We have not seen God. And I pray that our faith this morning would be strong. I'm talking about a strong faith that takes in God and His Word and His sovereignty and just who that He is and what He expects out of you and I and how to control our lives in a way that would please Him in every aspect of our life. The Word of God, listen to this, it enters into our passions. It does. It enters into our sensations. It enters into our appetites and our thoughts. We're going to be accountable. The words that I've spoken, He said, Jesus said, the same shall judge you in the last day. So that's very important, isn't it? The Word of God is what's going to judge us. I'm not going to judge you, thank the Lord. You're not going to judge me, thank the Lord. Ain't nobody going to judge one another, but God is going to judge us according to His Word. It's sovereign. And no matter how much man would like to change it, he can't do it. He can't do it. Because it's forever settled in heaven. It sets as judge as the most secret intentions, contrivances, and sensations of the heart. That's what the Word of God does for you and I. It's a seer of motives, of thoughts, and propensities of the heart. What you have a propensity to do. What you might do if you thought you could get by with it. See, that's why integrity today is such a lost cause. It's a dying morality because people want to go as far as they can go to see what they can get by with. Still stay within the confines of some kind of morality. The propensities of the heart. So infinite is God in knowledge and omnipotence that the whole creation is constantly exposed to his view. Every thought, every decree that you make is exposed to his view. All right, so much about sovereignty. I'd like for us to look at Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Lord, help us here. I really need the Lord to help us. We see John the Baptist. I think I'll read the 7th verse. When he came on the scene and he was baptizing, it says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now folks, these were religious people. They came out of Babylon. That's where they came out of. And they were religious people. And when he saw them come to his baptism, he said something to them. It's kind of strong, but he said it. He said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit. Meat for repentance. I want us to consider that thought for a little bit. Bring forth fruit that is worthy. Can I say it that way? Bring forth fruit that is worthy of repentance. The Lord has been speaking to me, and I believe he's shown me that there's folks that what they have repented of has not been worthy of repentance because they were not willing to let the Word of God go all the way and have the proper effect upon their hearts and upon their lives, and they didn't bring forth fruit, meat for repentance or worthy of repentance. You know, that's kind of important, isn't it? Except a man, let's see, repent, he shall likewise perish, something to that effect. Except we repent, we shall likewise perish. The Lord wants you and I to repent, not a superficial repentance. Folks, when it comes time to do business with the Lord, we are going to have to humble down and we're going to have to examine ourselves and be sure that we know and understand what we're doing here before the Lord and what we're giving him, and is it worthy of meat for repentance? Is it worthy of repentance? I'd like to look at another scripture and I'll expound on this some more in the 2 Corinthians. 7th chapter and the 8th verse. Paul's writing a letter here and he's saying, for though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Do you know, being sorry can happen 2 or 3 different ways, maybe more than that. There's people that are in courts, in our courts throughout the land, that say they're sorry. And the only thing they're sorry for was that they were caught. But for the deed itself, they were not sorry. He says, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. Your sorrow is when you're doing business with the Lord, when you bring your sacrifice, that's what you're doing. You're bringing him a sacrifice. That was been going all going on all down through the annals of time. The children of Israel brought their sacrifices. They had to be without blemish. They had to be perfect. They had to be acceptable before the Lord. When you bring your sacrifice before the Lord, how do you say that? Sorrow to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner that you might receive damage by us in nothing. My sorrow, I'm looking back upon my repentance before the Lord 32 years ago down in LaRonge, Louisiana. I had already been working on some things in my life. 2 years before that, I had given up the cigarettes. Before I even went down to LaRonge, I had taken turn the television around towards the wall into another room. We'd been working on some things, and I didn't realize the Lord was working on me. But godly sorrow to repentance. I mean, Lord, I really mean this. I want you to take my sacrifice. I want you to clean it up. I want you to make it whole. I want you to accept it. Because down the road, whenever the hard things come and the arrows start flying and the darts start flying and I start meeting things in my life that I don't understand or I didn't see coming and the road gets pretty hard and desperate sometimes, I will make a sacrifice before God that you will accept it, that I can stand on the consecration that I make before the Lord. Is that all right? May the Lord help us here. You were made sorry after a godly manner. You didn't regret. Everything I have, Lord, belongs to you. Everything that I am, Lord, belongs to you. Everything that I do, Lord, belongs to you. I want you to accept this. Folks, last Sunday night, when I regress, I didn't know whether I was going to live or die. Quite frankly, I thought I might die. And that'd have been all right. Brother here put out a call for prayer, and the saints started praying, and the Lord raised me back up. I'm thankful for it. I appreciate life just as much as you do. But folks, I want you to understand. I see some things there. I learned some things there. That when the rubber meets the road and you think you're going out of this world to meet God, you better be sure that your sacrifice is everything that you're claiming it to be. You better be sure, because that's how you're going to meet God. Even I sit there and say, Lord, have I done enough? Am I doing enough? Am I clean enough? Am I right enough? I sit there and I wonder that. There's a scripture that says in the Isaiah the 28 and 17, if I can get it here real quick. Isaiah 28 and 17. Judgment also will I lay to the lion and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and water shall overflow the hiding place. Folks, when the rubber meets the road, when life gets real serious, and you realize that you're going to see God face to face real soon, if He doesn't do something for you, I'm going to tell you the hail will sweep away the refuge of lies. He will show you yourself. He will show you the sacrifice you made and what you have given to Him and just how genuine that it really is. I want us to be genuine, folks. I want us to want Him to accept our sacrifice. He went on to say, for godly sorrow worketh repentance, to salvation not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. I've heard more than one person say in my years, I wish the Lord would just take me while I'm saved so I won't lose out and be lost, lose my poor soul. Do you ever think that? I want the Lord to take me while I'm still saved so I won't lose out in case I lose out and I lose my soul. Folks, I want to tell you something. God has grace to keep us saved. He has grace to keep us safe. He has grace to take us out of the grips of the enemy and out of his power, and he's got grace to keep us every day. But the godly sorrow of this world, folks, it worketh death. I know a lot of people that have a lot of sorrows of this world, and they're having issues and difficulties with life. People taking their lives. People don't know what to do. People don't know how to face things because of the sorrow of this world. May the Lord help us. Do we got it right? I'm not saying we don't have it right, but we better get it right. If we don't have it right, we better get it right, because it's going to be very serious one of these days. Behold this self, same thing, that you sorrow after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what cleansing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. And all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. I trust that we're all clear in this matter. I'm going to close. I don't have the stamina I once had, but I want to close with this verse, and this verse is very important to me. Paul, speaking in another letter to the Romans, and he's speaking on circumcision, Romans, the second chapter. He's speaking on circumcision. Joseph, Brother Joseph said Sunday, when his message, I was only there for the morning message, but he talked about a covenant that God made with man. Folks, God's made a covenant with us. He's made a serious covenant with us. And he did it all because he loves us. All because our soul is precious to him. All because we mean that to him. But he's made a different covenant with you and I. He made a covenant with his son. His son came down, left heaven's glory, and he came down and he gave his life. He died and shed his blood for you and I, that we can have a new covenant, a holy covenant, a spiritual covenant. Folks, look beyond this veil of flesh. Look beyond this life here. Look at what God has made possible for you and I, that we can enjoy this forever and ever and ever and ever. This is important. This covenant that he made. And he said here in verse 27, and shall not uncircumcision. They were having a problem with being circumcised or not being circumcised, and I'm not interested in that part of it right now. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law. Folks, there's no salvation in the law. You cannot be saved from the law. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ. It takes his sacrifice. And you and I must make an equal sacrifice to the Lord to the fullest extent that we possibly can, giving him all. Some people today are holding things back on God. Some people are saying, this is the way I am. This is the way I do things. This is the way I work. Folks, don't hold that back on God. Give it to God and let him do his perfect work in your heart and life. Give it to God. Turn it over to him. It says, for he is not a Jew, which is one inwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart, and in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. I told this story here before. Many of you weren't here when I told it. The ones that were, Lord give you grace to endure it. My son, my oldest son, is 45, soon be 46 years old. Back when he was a young boy, and this has been years ago, of course. He was in Cub Scouts. And one day he came home from Cub Scouts and he brought all the materials to make a soapbox derby. One of those little cars, wooden cars with the wheels and everything, and then they take them on one given night and they let them run down the track to see who wins. Well, I helped him out with it. And I did a few things with the car to make it run a little faster and put a little clay in the middle of it, in the bottom of it, covered it up, so forth, make it a little heavier than just the Pinewood Derby. We got over to the school that night, and they started racing, but before they raced them, this is what God does. You know what they did? They weighed them. And they all had to be under a certain weight. God's weighing us, folks. He's weighing us. He sends circumstances along in your life. Circumstances along in my life. He's weighing us. He's proven our sacrifice. He wants to know about this godly sorrow that we proclaim before God. He wants to know about that. He wants to see what we're made of inside. He wants to see where we really are and what we have accepted and what we really see. He wants to see all that. So his car was too heavy. So I took the car and I got off to the side while the other fellas were racing. And I got my pocket knife out and started whittling wood. Well, his car looked good when we got there that night. By the time I got done with it, it was a mess. I started whittling some wood away, and they weighed, now it's still too heavy, so I got it and whittled a little bit more. And in the course of my whittling, I cut myself. You know what happens when you cut yourself? You bleed. Well, I didn't have time to do anything about that. I just kept working on his car, and I had blood all over his car. His car looked terrible. But I got it down to the racing weight. And he won heat after heat after heat. But he lost the last one. But he did pretty good. It wasn't how the car looked. They were interested in how fast that run. They were interested who won. Folks, we're running a race this morning. It doesn't matter how long it takes. Whether it's over today or whether it's over tomorrow. God is interested, folks, how much we weigh. How genuine we really are. The circumcision of the flesh, of the heart, he says. That of the heart and in the spirit and not in the letter. Folks, whenever we give a sacrifice to God, there must be a blood sacrifice accepted that Jesus Christ made for you and I. We'll never equal his sacrifice. But we have a sacrifice that we have to make. We have a sacrifice, and people are holding back today on the Lord, folks. I'm sorry to have to say it. People are holding back on the Lord. People aren't giving him his all. They're not giving him his due. People holding back on the Lord. We don't want to hold back on the Lord. John the Baptist said, bring forth meat worthy of repentance. Lord, help us this morning. Consider our ways. Consider where we are before God as he sees me right now. As he knows the thoughts and the intents of your hearts right now. He's weighing each and every one of us. May the Lord help us this morning. Love every one of you. Appreciate you much. May the Lord help us all to give him the ultimate sacrifice. He paid the ultimate sacrifice, but Lord help us to be willing to strip ourselves for this race, whatever it takes. Godly sorrow that's worthy of repentance before the Lord. You pray for me.